As an introduction to this topic, I want to share for a little while here. And I won't finish this morning, but we'll continue on in several weeks. When you look at that title, I'd like to hear from you, what am I going to share about this morning? Can someone tell me? I'm looking for a specific word. Okay. Someone else? Okay. Joel said grace. Okay. Myself? Okay. Someone else? Unselfishness. Okay. Timmy had the word that I wanted. But he's wrong. I was actually hoping that several of y'all would respond to that. He's not wrong so much that that's not what I'm going to speak about. It will include that. But tithing is part of the message, what I want to look at this morning, what we as Christians, as believers, as God-fearing, God-honoring, God-obeying, according to His Word, people. The grace of giving. I think that you can be a giving person and you don't have to have love. You can give without having love. I do not believe that you can love and not give. I think that's impossible. That we would say we love, but we do not give. And this morning, tithing is what I want to introduce here, just to get our mind focused, and then the next time we'll go more into some of the other areas. John 3:16, very familiar passage of Scripture, very familiar, probably from the youngest to the oldest. We know that. It says, "For God so loved that He gave." If God would have said that He loved, but He would not have given His Son, we would be void of understanding and comprehending that God really did love us, or if He really does love us at all. But God, who is the maker of heaven and earth, so loved that He gave His firstborn, His only born Son. Only begotten Son. Not firstborn. Jesus was our example. He loved so much while He was on this earth that He gave and gave and gave of Himself to the point of shedding His own physical blood and dying, the last breath going out of Him, being dead. John 13:35, very familiar again. It says, "By this shall all men know that you are My disciples, by your love you have one for another." And love is going to have some kind of action behind it. And so this morning when we talk about grace of giving, I want to look at the Old Testament law briefly to kind of introduce us to what really is, how this all was. And I also want to say that giving is not something that we do, but more so giving is who we are. It is a lifestyle. It is something that should encompass our whole manner of life, Monday through Sunday. We are to be giving people. And you know, if we could still be under the Old Testament law, it would almost be easy to abide by that law. And hear me out when I say that. Because we often hear that the law was so cumbersome they had to do all these things. But in the Old Testament, if you did these things, you could know that you were in relationship with God by doing these multiple different things, these sacrifices and so on. Today, under grace, it is not that easy. And listen to me, when we were under the law, it was easy in the fact that you could look and you could say, this is what the law says, if I do this, then God will be pleased with me. Under grace, God wants everything. Under the law, God wanted you to do these different things. He wanted you to give the first fruits. Under grace, God says, I want the whole scope of your life completely. I don't know how many of you read Dear Abby. I'd clipped this one several years ago, and I found it again. Listen to the two key words, and I'm not even going to tell you what they are. You'll pick up on them. And I want to be cautious not to be too critical of people who know not this Lord Jesus Christ whom we serve. I do want to be critical of us, of myself, of you, as we say we live out the Christian life, as we say that we love and we give, but we do it haphazardly, or maybe not at all. Jimmy Carter once said, when it comes to giving, some people will stop at nothing. And so often, we kind of try to figure out ways that we can get it around the fact of being a giving person. Well, listen to this, Dear Abby. Dear Abby, I am a friendly, happy, well-rounded student. I am president of my class in med school, currently a 4.0 student and top ranked in my class. I have a wonderful life. I am artistic, intelligent, attractive, very successful in work and at school. I have a lovely apartment, a new car, fulfilling hobbies, great friendships, and a fiance who is kind, loving, and supporting. I seem to have it all. In fact, I do. And I feel guilty about it. I had an unhappy childhood coupled with a low-income household growing up, and now I feel as if this happy life is too good for me. I know I earned most of what I have. I worked two jobs as an undergraduate and have been a dedicated student my entire life. Yet I still feel undeserving. How can I be happy about my happiness? You know the words I'm trying to pull out of you there. I and my. And dear Abby, as we say in the South, bless her heart. To use the vernacular, it may take some couch time and the help of a psychotherapist. If I had to take a guess, I'd say your feelings of unworthiness relate to your unhappy childhood, or possibly that you were able to overcome your background while others in your family were not. Please start as soon as possible, because for someone who has accomplished as much as you have, you deserve to enjoy the psychic rewards of what you have achieved. Oh, if I would be asking somebody advice, I think I would leave with that bit of advice worse than when I came. What hope, what satisfaction, what fulfillment was in that bit of advice? But this lady, I don't think that she had learned what it meant to be a giver. Because you notice all the I's and the me's. And it's a little bit easy to be critical of her, because it takes it away from myself and it takes it away from you, yourself. We would all like to think that we're not like other people and that we are a lot better in the way that we act out our life and the way that we conduct ourselves. But I think we have a lot to learn. I think so often we fail. Well, I want to look in Hebrews 13, just several verses there real quick, just to sort of set the tone. Hebrews 13, verse 14 says, "For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for a city that has come through Jesus. Therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name, and do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. It says, we are not to forget to do good. Evidently, that's a problem with you. Evidently, you forget to do good. Evidently, life takes over when you're at the job, when you're at your recreation, when you're with your friends, when you're playing ball, when you're at the knitting class. You forget to do good. And you sort of take and do things to fit me, myself. We sort of do that. We would like to think that we're self-sacrificing people, but so often we look out for what we call number one, and that is myself. So it is important that we don't forget to do good. We have to think about it. We've got to think about it first thing in the morning when I get up, that today I am going to serve. And for some people, that's easier than others. Some people, on their giftings, it is a little bit easier. But every one of us, we still need that reminder that we need to look out for the good of our fellow man, to be interested and to be involved in other people's lives, to know what's happening in their lives, to ask questions, and to know how to speak to them and to speak into their life. Matthew 7 verse 2, and I don't have that on the overhead, but it says, for in the same way that you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure that you used, it will be measured to you. So when you give, that is how it's going to be given back to you. That is not why you give. That's not why you should be motivated to be a giving person in all manner of life. But it's simply one of God's laws. You don't even have to be a Christian for this to apply. God's laws will apply whether a person is a believer or whether he's an unbeliever. But it will not make you a believer by applying God's laws short of accepting Jesus Christ and repenting of your sins. We want to be clear on that. Well, what is the tithe? And to be straight and upfront with you this morning, we have to say, I don't believe you're going to find that word in the New Testament. And many people have arguments about tithing. That's not a New Testament principle. And I would sort of agree with you on that. I'm not going to argue that with you this morning. But I go back to the fact that tithing might not be required under the New Testament dispensation. But I'm here to tell you that tithing is only a start for us as believers. It should only be a start. And if we can not say that we have tithes and then offerings over top of our tithes, I think we're missing the mark. I think we're falling short of what God is expecting us to do. And it's therefore why we face some of the issues that we face, and we face some of the struggles, and there's things that happen in our life and we don't understand. Again, the Old Testament law was simple in that fact that you could just do what the law said and you were okay. It required 10% and do your sacrifices like you're supposed to. Today, all God requires is every part of you. That's all. And if you're not willing to give that, He is not willing to take just part of you. All or none. Sounds cruel, but no, it's a loving God. And He knows what we need. He knows what we need for fulfillment, for satisfaction, for peace and happiness. When I talk about fulfillment and satisfaction and peace and happiness, it's not as the world gives, but it's as God can give and only God can give. In our Sunday school lesson this morning, we talked about that. These people that go out and they get drunk, and they get drunk at night, they do revelries at night, and they will mock us for not participating in their wickedness, in their ungodliness, and we're the ones that are supposed to be the fools because we don't participate in that. We don't participate in the one in being part of the crowd that the next morning their gut hurts so bad and their head feels like it's about to split apart. And yet they're saying, wow, that was a good time. Is that Satan's deception or what? And I think that's why he says there in the Sunday school, we need to be encouraging each other. We need to be active. We need to be on alert. And come against these wiles of Satan and to not allow these people who are serving Satan and sin to intimidate us, but that we be bold and we stand up and we can say, I can get up in the morning and I can have a good time that day. I can have had a good time the day before and I don't have to worry about my head splitting and this awful gut ache and this violent wrenching into the commode. And then also wondering just what was it that I said to that crowd of people when I was so drunk? What kind of a fool did I make out of myself? And that is, brothers and sisters, what the world is saying is fun, it's great, it's super, oh! And we buy into that because we sort of shrink back and like, I don't do any of that. We've got something that they need. So bad. They need it so bad. And we have the answer. Let's be giving people in that area to where the fruit of our lips we speak forth by the way we live our life. It exemplifies the Lord Jesus Christ. Leviticus 27. I want to read several verses there just to kind of understand where we come up with what it says, what the tithe is. It says here, verse 30. A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. If a man redeems any of his tithe, he must add a fifth of the value to it. If the entire tithe of the herd, and the flock, every tenth animal that passes under the shepherd's rod will be holy to the Lord. He must not pick out the good from the bad or make any substitution. If he does make a substitution, both the animal and its substitute become holy and they cannot be redeemed. These are the commands the Lord gave Moses on Mount Sinai for the Israelites. There you have it. Just do that and God will be pleased with your sacrifices. It was very simple because it was very spelled out. So, now we go on. Well, we're under the New Testament dispensation. We are not under the law. We are under grace. We are saved by grace through faith. Absolutely. And we cannot add one thing to grace for salvation. It is simply God's grace poured out upon us and us accepting that. But brothers and sisters, I am firmly convinced that if we accept that grace of salvation that He has given us, if we accept that with the conditions that He has laid out, it will show up. If I say I have accepted that grace and I have accepted Jesus Christ in my life and it does not show up in my life, in my walk, in my talk, that there's something different going on, I would seriously question whether something different really is going on. And we'll get into this portion later. I will not even turn to it, but it's 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 15. And if you would like to, you can turn to that and look at it in the next week or two. And just kind of brush yourself up on it and see what it's saying there. But in there, he talks about the grace of giving. Paul talks about the grace of giving. And also, in our Articles of Faith and Practice, I think item number 4, we talk about that we believe in tithing. And there have been people that have already raised the question, well, that is not a command in the New Testament. Why do we have it in there? Each one of us. This is your answer. Each one of us as believers, as whether we're a newborn Christian or whether a veteran Christian, an old Christian, we need accountability. We need to be discipled. We need guidelines set in place. The same way that it is when you're at work, the same way when you're at the golf course, the same way when you're at the grocery store, the same way when you're out on the road. There's always guidelines. There's limits that you have to bump up against. You cannot exceed them or there will be things that happen. We need accountability. You need to be accountable to other people. You need to be accountable to your brothers and sisters. I need to be accountable. There's no one that is above accountability. Matthew 23:23, and again, won't turn to that, but in there it talks about that the more important thing than tithing and giving money is justice, mercy, and faithfulness. And I think when we have those things in place in our life, then some of these other things will also take place. But when we're faithful, it will involve the whole sphere of your influence. It will involve the whole scope of your life. Malachi. Again, Old Testament. And I want to just read these to just kind of set in order why we talk about a tithe. And then in the next several weeks here, I'm going to talk about many other things that are other than giving of money. It's much greater than this, than just giving of money. Malachi 3 verse 8 says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me, but you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, and that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw up, I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your field will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty." Who is saying these things? The Lord God Almighty, the Maker, the Creator of the universe, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. He said this back in the Old Testament. Nowhere do I see in the New Testament that He refuted what He said here and say, now it was like that, but now it's going to be like this. So whenever the Old Testament law was not superseded under the new dispensation, we can still take and say that applies to us today. When you read that, I don't think, and if you can, I don't want to hear it now, but come to me after the service. What would be the downside of honoring this scripture? Do you think God would look at you if you would honor this scripture in the Old Testament? And that God would cause a curse or call down judgment upon you for honoring what He says in Malachi 3 verses 8 through 12. Maybe you know something I don't know. I would be hard pressed to even begin to imagine that God would come against you and me if we would honor Malachi 3. The question comes up, why don't you? Why don't I? We look here and we see, because in our mind, we can think of monetary things. We can think of things that make our life better, as it were, as we would think about it in human terms. But verse 9 says, you're under a curse, the whole nation. He's talking to the Israelites. He says, you're robbing me. But then he gives a solution in verse 10. He says, just try me. And I think that's probably the only time in Scripture where God said, come on at me, boy. Come on. Try me. You can test me in this. He says, test me in this and see if I will not throw open, and you're not going to be able to contain it. It's going to overwhelm you. And often we look at that as, oh, money. And we get all weak. But money is not the means of happiness. I know you would say, well, I would test me in this. I would like to see if it wouldn't work. But we as humans, that's the way we think. But our life is going to be full and overflowing with complete joy, with complete happiness, in spite of your circumstances. You could be going through the most severe trial. And if you test God and you give yourself to Him and you do what He says in His Word, nothing can come against you and nothing can steal your joy. He has promised that. We say we believe this, but our actions, do they not so often speak much louder than our words? Show me, rather than telling me, what you believe. And I think many people around us would tell us that. Just show me what you believe. You can tell me all day long and then go out and live your life and I'll call you a liar. But when you show me by your actions, you cannot come against that. And the other week in the message, I think I brought this one up, Matthew 25, 34 to 40, where Jesus came to those and he said, "Inasmuch as you did it unto the least of these, you did it unto me. Enter into the joy of my Lord." And the righteous will say, "When did I do that? Huh? Man, I can't." Brothers and sisters, that's when it comes. When you can ask that question, when the Lord of glory tells you that statement, and you can look at him and you can say, "When did I do that?" That's when you can know that your life style, the way you live, the way you give, it's who you are. It's not something that you do. Well, there's three areas that I want to look at, and I'm going to look at one today, and just briefly, and we'll go over it again in the next message. But I want to look at several things that will happen, or several things that giving will do for you. And then in future, I want to look at things that giving will not do for you. One of the things, if you will be a giving, and if you are a giving person, it will give your life purpose and meaning. It will make you aware of others around you. It will make you other aware instead of so much self-aware. And you've all met people that you envy. I have. And when I say envy, I mean envy in a good way. And that it's like, how in this world can they live their life in this earth and conduct themselves in the manner, in the way they are, because they are so selfless? We all know people like that. They would give you the shirt off their back and not have another one in the closet. And maybe have just met you. But we know people who are very, it's not something they think about doing. It's something what they are. And again, for some people that's easier than others. But as Scripture talks to us, and it's something that each one of us needs to practice. And that is to be a giving person. That's what's going to talk much louder than what I could tell someone about who this man called Jesus is. Another thing that giving will do for you, it'll show your gratefulness for how God has already blessed you in the past. Another thing giving will do is it will reflect strongly on your character, on what type of a person you are. We read in Malachi, the other thing it will do is it will allow God to bless your life. We wonder, why are some of these things happening? Why? I thought God said... And I wonder sometimes if God would not just like to grab us by the shirt collar and pick us up and say, "Dude, don't you understand? I mean, I've given you the word. I've given you everything that you can read it, and where's your comprehension?" But God is a merciful, patient, slow to anger, and for that, I'm grateful, aren't you? Absolutely. God, He is long-suffering. Another thing that giving will do for you, it will change your perspective of life. You won't look so much at what you can get for yourself. I won't look so much at what I can get for myself. It makes me take the focus off of me and put it on others. That even to the point of giving, physically giving my own life, I will be that kind of a giving person. How many of us have reached that? That's hard. It's not easy. Because every day we have to deal with that. But yet God has promised in His Word that we will be fulfilled. We will be full of joy if we honor Him in His Word. And there's never ever that it's been proven wrong. He cannot lie. But yet we are so quick to latch on to Satan's lies and to take them and dwell on them. And Satan is a liar. He's a deceiver. What kind of a giving person do you want to be? What kind of a giving person are you going to decide to be when you get up tomorrow morning? Again, the lady that wrote to Dear Abby, I really don't believe if she took Miss Abby's advice, I think 6 months later she probably could have wrote the same letter and felt the same way if nothing else changed. Because the advice is void of any lasting change. Because it doesn't have to do with how you grew up. It doesn't have to do with any of these things. But it has to do with you deciding, what am I going to do right now with God, with Jesus, and who He said He was. In closing, First Timothy 6:17 and through 19. I just want to read that. And this is for you. This is for you, and this is for me. Listen. Command them who are rich in this present world. That's you. And Brother Benjamin, thank you for showing up this morning and showing us and talking to us about these children. There's not a one of you that looked at those images and would stop and think and say, well, I'm not rich. We have to. You can look at one of those images and you have to say, I am rich. Good timing. And I don't think it was coincidence, but it was God putting them here with us this morning to give us an actual lesson of real people who are experiencing and know exactly what's going on over there. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Catch that? In order that you can take a hold of life that is really life. The life that the world around us is telling us that is life is really not life. They just think it's life. But we have the answer to life, to happiness, to joy, to peace and contentment. Paul is saying to Timothy, and I think he's telling you and me that also, that we are to command those around us that are rich to not be arrogant. Because we know, and we've seen it in the last 4 years, how fleeting people's 401, is that right? I want to say 501c3. Their retirement plan has dwindled. And it's like, that's the safest place to put it. Invest it in a house. Make payments on a house, because that will always go up. Yeah, right. The little redneck that's living in a single wide trailer with a plywood on the front door is looking like a hero right now, because it's like he has no payments. and these people have a $300,000 house, and if they could dump it for $150,000, they would love to. Uncertain wealth, it's fleeting. And is it wrong to have things? I'm not even going there. Each one of us has to deal with God. But God has made each one of us rich in this world. What are we going to do with it? What kind of a giving person am I going to be? Malachi 3 says, you're to try God. You're to test Him in this matter. And then don't do what Dear Abby said, but let go. Let go of your agenda. It's okay. If you serve the Lord Christ, He will. He has promised, and He cannot lie, nor has He ever lied. There is something God cannot do. He cannot lie. Well, next time we want to talk about things that giving won't do, and then why it is important to be in the grace of giving. And then we also want to look at a three-step program that will help us flesh this out. Shall we stand for closing prayer? Thank you for listening. Father in heaven, this morning, in the quietness of this hour, right now, we give pause and we reflect and we say thank you for the way you have blessed us. And Lord, this morning, I believe it's in the hearts of us here that we can each one say, there are so many times that I've been ungrateful, that you have blessed so abundantly and so many times I have not recognized it. And God, we confess that this morning. God, would you put it in our minds and in our hearts? Would you embed it in our thought process? That we would be a person who is constantly on the lookout and is giving. Whether it's our money, whether it's our time, whether it's whatever it is. But that we would give completely of our own selves to others, and thereby giving to you. God, you don't need us, but you desire our fellowship. Would you move through each one of us this week? Help us, Lord, that we could seek out ways of being a giving person. Dismiss us from here. Keep us in your care, and we thank you for having been here with us by the presence of your Holy Spirit. For that, we are grateful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening. Y'all are dismissed.